Big night for the Olds. I don't know how it's physically possible, but the Who at Fenway Park this evening. Ken wants me to go, but I think I have a previous engagement, couples dinner. We're going to the new restaurant in the South End.
Capri.
But
get the bread.
I think that goes without saying.
I would love to see the Who one more time.
What a back-to-back musical genre they had at Fenway, from Chris Brown to the Who.
No, Chris Brown was at the TD Garden. Jonas.
I believe it was at Fenway last
night. Wiggy said he was at Fenway.
It was? Yeah. He was at Fenway? Yeah. I stand corrected.
Yeah, it was Jonas Brothers over the weekend.
So, yeah, back-to-back, two different crowds.
Not a big crossover, I would presume.
No.
Yeah. Those guys are in, they got to be in there. In their 80s? They have to be, right?
I couldn't tell you any of their names. I don't know.
Can you name a Who song? Other than Long Live Rock, which we just played.
The Who, let's see, Colder Weather.
Are you serious, Curtis?
I couldn't name a single. Is that the outfield?
That is that Brown Band, who Greg is also seeing this fall.
Maybe, yeah. Oh. Well, anyway, can you name a Who song?
No.
No, you can't? No.
You guys definitely know Bob O'Reilly.
They probably just don't know the title of it.
100%. I do know Bob
Teenage
O'Reilly.
Wasteland.
That's what they play at big
teenage
games.
Teenage Wasteland. You know that. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Bill O'Reilly.
Okay. All right.
What about Terry?
Yes, you do know Terry O'Reilly. All right. They said it coming up at 7:20. I have a lead left to get to. And there is a boycott that is being called for by the... I would say the big boned among us, the heavies.
I'm listening.
Boycott on Southwest Airlines, because Southwest Airlines announced yesterday that if you are too large to fit into the airline seat, they are no longer going to give you a second seat for free. You're going to have to pay for that. That's not very nice for people who can't control what they weigh. They're not going to give you the seat for free anymore.
I think it should be just like the overhead bin. If your bag can't fit here, it can't go on the plane. If your ass can't fit here, it can't go on the plane.
I'm so fat, blah, blah, blah.
What about these people who are saying that they have continued to shrink the size of the airline seat so as to get more people on the plane? That's why they can't fit in it
I think
longer.
That's the issue.
That's what these people are saying.
The seats are getting very, very small. And, like, think of us. Nobody on this show is overweight.
What? Hello? Wiggy and I are right over here.
No, I said, I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, big boned maybe. And think about how uncomfortable the seats are for us. Like, I can't imagine being somebody who, like Greg said, can't control their weight, and now they have to pay for double and they need to fly somewhere.
Yeah. I mean it's probably fair. Like, if your body is hanging on, like parts of it are hanging over the seat onto the person that's next to you, that's inconvenient for them, and you should probably be responsible for paying for two seats.
Getting a seat for free is crazy.
Yes.
But there needs to be a better way, I think, for everybody.
Well, personal responsibility.
Yeah.
That's it. It is my job. My number one job outside of, you know, raising a son is to make sure that what I do doesn't take others' time or space. And so when I'm flying, I get in my seat. I don't bother. I would much rather pee my pants than get up five times and bother the person to my left. We live in a society now where we are making people into victims who have made a choice to be bigger than the seat that they purchased to fly on their way to wherever. Like, sorry, drive or buy two seats. That's the world. We shouldn't make it easier for people to live incredibly unhealthy lives. We should incentivize actual judgment of people who can't fit into an airplane seat.
Now, a business idea. What about a specific airline that is just for the fats?
Bingo.
Like, so you just have one row of seats.
It can only fly at 4,000 feet.
Like, it's one row. Like, you take the three seats, you remove the arm thing in the middle, you create some kind of a
two
giant
big seats.
Seat belt thing. Like, it goes over three seats, and then you pay more because you can't get as many people on it, but they have plenty of room. There's no concern about, you know, when it comes to perspiration or whatever happens, like, everybody understands what they're in for.
Easy name,
what,
too, Greg.
What?
Jumbo jetliners.
Yes.
But my question, though, is, like, so why do they ban, why do they cut people off or land early when somebody's overserved? I'll tell you. Because they are annoying and causing issues for the other passengers on the plane. They're standing up, they're belligerent, they're whatever. This is that in a different way. If I'm seated and the person to my left's fat is coming into my lap, they should have to pay for that.
Yeah. Look how that is fat not my she fault. Is, LOL.
Yeah, probably, like,
but why is this even a question?
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
feel like there's got to be a better way, though. Like, these people still need to be able to fly. To just tell somebody you got to lose the weight if you want to go see your...
No, you just have to buy another seat.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's... That's a lot, too. Like, they've done a better job with the seat belt extenders, I've heard, and making sure that's available, but I just...
I also do think they do need to make, like, bigger seats
yes.
available.
Yeah.
Like, you should have the
class.
Option to pay more for a big... Not every plane has first class, though, Curtis. You know what I mean?
But
so,
like, but if you're massive, then you have to shop around. Like, yeah. you're not able to fit into every seat on every airline, then yeah. that's on you.
Well, there is a potential boycott when it comes to Southwest Airlines based on that. And those are our leads this morning.
And I have to ask, I didn't ask you when we came in this morning, the douche move that you sent us yesterday,
yes.
will we be getting to that on air?
Well, I don't know. I would single somebody out, but
we don't know that person.
Right. Yeah, we could do that.
It's wild.
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 I'm not sure how I feel about it. But
I'm pretty clear on how I feel about it. Yeah.
Chime, can you go ahead? We could do it quick now. You could.
And now, another episode of Douche Move.
Ha, what a douche.
Okay, so I don't know how you feel about vanity plates in general. I was on my afternoon old man walk yesterday
yeah.
in the seaport. And if you're watching this show on Twitch or on YouTube, then you'll be able to see this. And you should be watching the show on Twitch or YouTube every day when you can. And the show on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers, and they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And they have their Page Estate summer sale going on, tons of pre-owned and vintage jewelry, up to 70% off at Springer's. So I encountered this beautiful Ferrari yesterday in the seaport. And so... I'm reading the vanity plate. I don't know. How do you feel in general about vanity plates?
I am not a fan.
I enjoy them.
I wanted one in high school.
Okay.
But I didn't get one.
Is simply having a vanity plate a douche move? Discuss.
No, absolutely not.
It's not?
No.
It can be douchey.
Okay.
No, it can be, but the idea of having a vanity plate is not douchey. It is sometimes douchey depending on what the vanity plate is.
Okay. I'm assuming this vehicle is being driven by a man, and the vanity plate that is on the red Ferrari says RD head. Now, maybe my mind goes right to the gutter. Maybe perhaps the man is a fan of redheads, but I am guessing
it is a red car,
right?
I'm guessing that he means something else.
Oh.
Like the Road H, for instance, when it comes to his vanity plate. Is that a douche move if you have that on that vehicle?
Massive.
Massive?
Like the biggest of all time.
I would just say nothing. Something isn't massive, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And it's got to be Road, because like if you live on, you know, Leo Road.
Uh-huh.
That's
it's RD.
It's RD.
I mean, he could, if it was redhead, he could have redhead on there.
Correct.
Right.
So you're saying that's a massive douche move?
Massive.
Really?
If someone pulled
maybe
up...
Maybe he's just, you know, he's very, very confident.
No,
he's not.
He is not. If someone pulled up for a date in a red Ferrari and the license plate said RDHED,
yeah.
No.
What are they compensating for? Like, my question, too, whenever I see this, it's like, could you, in a million years, if you got a Ferrari, park it on the street? Like, that car's worth $400,000. Like, it's so fascinating to me. But the best part about these is that, like, everybody aspires to be this rich, right? Like, mm-hmm. where they can buy that car.
Yeah.
That guy got that rich, and he still is so insecure that he had to get that as the license plate.
Somebody in the Twitch chat says the vanity plate should say micro penis. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea about that. Yeah.
It is. That's insane. Yeah. What restaurant was it parked outside of?
That's Davio's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out there in the seaport. All right. Well, anyway, I thought that was of interest. And what about a vanity, like if you have a Patriots vanity plate or you got
Jimmy Fund, they do those. That's fine.
Like those are the charity ones. But even if you're such a fan that you've got RD socks, like road socks, you're a fan of the Reds, that's okay.
That's
with you?
Fine. Yes, that's fine. The Taylor Benson, Taylor Swift house.
Yeah.
The family that sold that to her, the daughter. When she got her first car, it was a BMW 5 Series. Her name's Taylor, and it was Tayla, T-A-Y-L-A. Yeah. And I'm like, that's a little much.
A girl I went to high school with, she was very, very cool. She was a year older than me. And she had a Mini Cooper, a light blue Mini Cooper, and her license plate said Malibu. Her name was Mal. Oh, okay. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Like, that is...
I mean, it's kind of a waste of money. Like, it's like an additional... I don't know what it is now. It used to be like $40. It's got to be like an additional $60, $70.
My dad didn't let me because he said, like, that's easy for kidnappers.
Okay. We understand where a lot of your anxiety comes.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Like, yeah.
I could do such a composite sketch of who that owner of that car is. Like, I have someone so clearly in my mind.
Speaking of sketches, I ran into our friend Laura from New York over the weekend, and she is finishing a Greg Hill Show portrait of us.
As penises?
Yes.
All of us?
All of us.
Really?
Yep.
When is that going to be done?
She is finishing it. She is on vacation this week, yes. And she is finishing it this week. It's just the background she needs to fill in. I have not seen it.
Okay.
Her husband said she's outdone herself.
Really?
Yeah. Now, it was weird.
Now,
it
this is, for those who may not know, because theoretically we get new listeners all the time, Courtney has a good friend who has an odd habit of drawing things as they would be if they were a penis.
Yes.
Like at people.
Yep.
Landmarks.
Yes. It is in the form of a penis.
Correct. Yes.
Animals.
Right.
Animals. Yeah. Yes. Now, in our group message, she did text, "Is anybody uncircumcised?" And Santo immediately said, "This is an HR violation." Like, this is where. Yeah, and is. I said,
that
I, "That's
be
something
a, that
I don't."
Would be an HR. You don't know that?
No, I do not. Okay. I said, just use your imagination.
Well, I mean, honestly, sometimes some of the shorts that Curtis wears are a little tight. But yes, okay. So.
Some may say a penis depicting me is redundant. But.
So is she doing them cut or uncut?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
We'll have to wait until we find out.
Yeah.
When are we going to debut this?
As soon as she's done. Okay. So she's working on it this week.
How much longer?
And I believe we'll have a physical copy for studio. Uh-huh. So.
Oh, that's a lot
of
dogs.
Will we be able to put that on Twitch?
Yeah.
Hustle till we get the photo. All right. Let us get to something more important, and that is Courtney and what is trending right now.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox take the first against the Orioles. 4-3 was the final from Baltimore after being down 3-1 by the bottom of the third. Brennan Bernardino went an inning in his start, striking out 2. Roman Anthony had a homer in this one, while Jaren Duran had a 3-run homer to get the win.
Hold on. We may owe somebody an apology. This is John. John, where are you calling from?
Georgetown.
Okay, what's up, John?
So, when you mentioned the Ferrari, it's possible if it was a Testarossa. Testarossa, an Italian's redhead.
Testarossa, that model of the Ferrari in Italian is redhead.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I might be okay with that if that's what it is. I don't know whether that
it
is...
might be.
Okay.
It might be, but it also might be a play on words, right?
I think the latter, but yeah. Okay, sorry about that, Courtney.
That's all right.
Yeah.
They got another one in Baltimore tonight. First pitch at 6:35 with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Over to the NFL, where Terry McLaurin is staying put in Washington, the two agreeing on a three-year contract extension worth up to $96 million. And Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals have agreed to a new one-year deal, making Hendrickson one of the NFL's highest-paid defenders for 2025, with a $14 million raise to $30 million. And it's a big day for Mike Vrabel. He has to cut the roster down by 52-53 by 4 p.m. And the 20-pound summer slim down with Awaken 180 weight loss. Drop 20 pounds before summer ends and cruise into fall lighter, healthier, and happier. Do what Andy, Ted, Shime, and Bradfoe did. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. We'll be right back with They Said It.
Bullpen game gets it done for the Red Sox last night, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Courtney has the news coming up in about 20 minutes or so at 7:45, and there is plenty of time for you to leave a Hill Note on any topic on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best Hill Notes back at about 9:20 or 9:30 this morning. Odyssey app, a great way to listen to this show if you cannot listen on the radio. And if I could offer quickly a little Odyssey app appreciation for a guy I met yesterday, Brendan, who works at Wegmans in Westwood. I stopped there on the way home from Gillette Stadium yesterday. Brendan came right up to me, listens every day on the Odyssey app. So hello to Brendan.
What'd you get?
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of fruit and a lot of salad materials yesterday.
No carbs.
And what else did I get? They didn't have – I enjoy my overnight oats. I like the Mush brand, yeah. As you know, Courtney. They did not have any of those unfortunately.
What's this new kick I see with the overnight oats?
They're delicious.
It's really about fiber, and it's about trying to be regular. It's a real problem.
Sure,
it is. My age.
I'm sorry.
Regular. I'm regular on the when it comes to the gas part of things.
Oh, that's good.
But the full processes.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Shine. Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They
don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law. Every single day, they fight for the working people in this city who have been injured. They will do that for you, and right now they are honoring those who built this incredible city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate somebody when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Shime, what is up first this morning?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Chris Sims, who's on his podcast with Connor Rogers, and they were talking about the New England Patriots win total of 8.5, and Chris Sims pretty confident in the over. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, 8.5 wins, I look at that and just go, yeah, no doubt, I'm picking the over, 100%. I'm expecting the Patriots to be somewhat of a force in the NFL. I mean, you look at them and what they have here, yeah, we need to see Drake May take that next step or whatever you want to say there, right? There's some young receivers that I think are going to have a lot of say of how this offense is this year. How quickly do they jump on the scene with Booty, Douglas, right? That group there, Kyle Williams.
Yeah.
Young guys on the offensive line, right? So the potential on the offense is there, but it's a little bit like, oh, I just would like to see it a little bit. The defense, I feel like I don't have a whole lot of questions about. The defense is like, for the most part, is veteran players that have been around the league, and I think between that and the way they're going to be coached and everything on there, I look at the defense and go, I'd be surprised if the Patriots defense isn't a top 10 defense in football.
I said it earlier. A lot of insiders very bullish on the Patriots this season. And so was it Damian Woody that we played last week who has them as a playoff team? Chris Sims has him over the 8.5 wins.
Coward has been staunchly since the beginning of the offseason saying that he has the Patriots as one of the teams that was out of the playoffs last year, will be back in this year. He's thought 10-7 for the Patriots. Yeah. So.
I mean, during Leeds about an hour or so ago, we talked a lot about the Vrabel factor and how much of this is just, and I guess I should include the whole coaching staff, but how much of this is just that. And certainly Scheim, Drake May needs to take a step forward and be better than he was last season. And so we shall see what happens.
But the coaching is like they were the worst staff in football last year, and now they're probably a top five, top 10 coaching staff all around.
Big upgrade at offensive coordinator. Yes.
I mean. Huge. He actually knows what players can play.
Which positions they can play,
right.
On both sides of the ball. But giant upgrade there. Giant upgrade, I think, at head coach.
Massive. You got Doug Marrone. You got guys. You got a bunch of coaches that have. I mean, Doug Marrone got the Jaguars with the lead in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship in 2017 here. He's a guy that's, I think he's part of the. Is he Parcells? I don't know. Or Bell? I mean, he's part of the. He's got a great
one
coaching
of those trees.
Lineage. Yeah. So all around, I think they're ready.
Also, just a reminder of Chris Sims that he was the guy that Mac Jones contacted because he was upset with the Patriots. So I just sometimes with Chris Sims.
But he's being positive.
Yes, no, being very positive. He was very positive on Mac Jones. That's what I'm saying. He was very, very positive back then. Yeah. And Mac Jones is. That's who he contacted.
Yeah, Chris Sims' hit record isn't the best. Unless you're talking about actually his wide receiver prospects hit record. That's pretty good. Outside of that.
Yeah, and I'll do a radio bit. You can mark it. 732. If they don't double their win total and get to 8 wins at least, we'll put a dunk take here. And you can, for $10 to the Greg Hill Foundation.
You never pay off any of these.
Bets. I did. I can't get a tattoo. It's against my religion.
Were you supposed to jump into the Charles?
I mean, you never pay off.
We'll see. Third time's
you do
a
these,
charm.
You do these outlandish radio bet suggestions.
Sorry, I'll get Steven Goskowski to kick field goals at my junk.
You never pay them off.
But I'm the Welcher.
Right.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about paying off, Courtney got married 5 years ago.
Oh.
I'm just telling you. Let's see. Guys, you have a bottom four offensive line in the league and a bottom six receiving group in the league that does not translate to wins in the NFL.
I'm sure that person has scouted all other offensive lines.
508 texters. So,
but, I mean, what do we know about the Miami Dolphins offensive line?
They're not good.
Mike Vrabel talked a little bit about Will Campbell yesterday. I like the fact that he said he's been good.
Progressing.
Didn't over compliment the man. Yep. So
he's very good at not over complimenting really anybody though. Yeah. Even Drake May. When you ask about Drake May, Mike Vrabel is very very stable on where the way in which he talks. He doesn't
stable
get
Vrabel, is that what you would call
I like
him?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Drake, speaking of Drake May, he spoke yesterday after practice, and he was asked if he feels pressure to throw the ball more often to Stephon Diggs. Here is how Drake May responded to that.
Is there any pressure on you? He's a guy who's obviously accomplished a lot in his career.
Yeah.
Is there any pressure on you as a young quarterback to make sure he gets the ball, make sure he's feeling good about where he's at?
I wouldn't say pressure. I think he knows, he knows the plays and always try to tell the guys, hey, if you've seen something, hey, you know, give me something on the sideline or something like that. But I'm going to try to throw the guys that open. If he's open a lot, then he'll get the ball a lot. So,
yeah, I mean, so that's a question about how Diggs was in Buffalo, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
So about how he was not getting the ball enough and how are you
going to. Yeah, but he didn't complain about it in Houston when he was fighting for catches between Tank Dell and Nico Collins. So, like, that may have just been more of a Buffalo, him and Josh Allen issue than it is necessarily like a Stephon Diggs thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I do think Steph Diggs not getting the ball here, he'll be far more enraged than he was when he was with the Texans because they were, as Sean just said, there were good players around him.
I think he's going to get the ball here. Who else are you going to throw it to?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If he's actually better than everybody else and healthy, he's just going to get the ball naturally. That's just kind of how it works.
Or the defense will roll their coverage to him and he won't be open and they'll force the Patriots to throw to the other guys.
Now, a butter guy in the Twitch chat, and you can participate in an ongoing chat on the show if you're watching it on Twitch and in the chat, says when Diggs starts chirping at Drake May, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I mean, I yes, I guess if we get to that point, then that is going to be an issue. But I don't.
Well, you said year three is usually when Diggs starts chirping.
Well, you guys keep talking about stable Vrabel. You really think Vrabel's going to let him chirp at his quarterback?
Wait. No. So we really all think that there will not be a time in any game this season where Diggs is mad at the quarterback. Really? I mean, come on.
I think there probably will be.
I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy, and I don't think it'll overtake the season. But to not think that there won't be a spot of the year where Steph Diggs is open and he doesn't get the ball and he lets Drake May know about it would be a shocking upset. I mean, that's just who he is. It's great. I mean, but that's not only him. I mean, that's all the best receivers in football.
Right.
Like,
it kind of comes with the position.
Yep. If you want to have a great player, they're probably going to have that.
Is he going to blame Drake May, though, or is he going to blame Josh McDaniels? Because a lot of times at Buffalo, he was blaming the offensive coordinator more than he was blaming Josh Allen.
Right, but I think at that point, Josh Allen was established in a way that Drake May is yet.
Yeah, but if they're winning football games and Steph Diggs is unhappy, he's probably going to be blaming the offensive coordinator, not him, not Drake May.
All right, we'll see. Proof will be in the pudding.
True.
What's next?
Well, let's stay in the NFL. Ledger Doosable of CBS believes after re-signing Terry McLaurin to his contract extension, it is basically Super Bowl or bust for the Commanders at this point.
Okay.
Here is what he said.
I put it out there earlier. I got them going to the Super Bowl this year. And I think, again, they weren't going to do that without scary Terry McLaurin. You had a guy like Deebo Samuel. You had Laremy Tunsil to left tackle. Josh Kornerly at right tackle. So we saw this team last year. Again, they picked number two overall because they weren't good, Brandon. But led by Jaden Daniels, yes, they are going to the Super Bowl. Like, the Washington Commanders, I feel like, are going to the Super Bowl with the addition of this signing to scary Terry McLaurin because I love what they did. Last year, again, they didn't. A lot of people didn't expect them to go to the NFC Championship game, but because of the superstar ability by Jaden Daniels and this offense, they were able to go there. Now they fixed some of those issues on defense. They get Terry McLaurin under contract. I think the sky's the limit for this team. I think it's Super Bowl or bust for the Commanders.
Wow. What do you think, Shime?
Yeah, no. I don't think that happens. I expect actually not the exact opposite, but I expect a slight regression from the Commanders overall. Like, no team goes back-to-back seasons converting on fourth down 90% of the time unless it's fourth and one and you're the Philadelphia Eagles. Just doesn't happen. Like, they were phenomenal on fourth down last year to a point that it was almost like inhuman, and I just don't think you can replicate that. As you're just due for natural regression. And so I think with injuries and stuff like that, like, they are a 10-win football team. They'll be in the playoffs. I don't have any doubt about that, but I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl now.
Okay. What's next?
Well, Paul Pierce was on Julian Edelman's podcast. Was it Names with Games? Games with Names?
Yes.
Games with Names. And they talked about how Boston, or what makes Boston, the best sports city. Here was Pierce and Edelman.
I think just Boston sports is like a brotherhood when you think about it, because it's like every franchise out there is legendary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's probably, I tell people that Boston is the best sports town in all of America.
Not even close.
It's not even
especially
close.
In the span that we got to play in.
Yeah, that era, like, everybody won a championship in that decade. You know what I'm saying? So it's different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You understand it.
I understand
it. You lived it. You was out there.
I try to explain to people that, like, it was almost like a competition with the other sport teams, too, because everyone was winning so much. You see the Red Sox win something, you're like, oh, man, well, we got to go get something. Yeah. And the Celtics win something, and you're like, oh, and then the Bruins go out and win. And then we would go, you know what I mean? It was just, that is a 20-year gap that is going to be remembered forever.
The good old days.
You're so lucky.
Remember those?
Yep.
There's nobody in my lifetime that is like Pierce in that he weathered so many storms. Personally, off the court, getting stabbed, nearly dying. But on the court, you know, dealing with the roster turnover and all the years of mediocrity, getting to one conference final and then...
Yeah. Dude was able to get out of a wheelchair and keep playing.
Right. I mean, he could have asked for a trade. He would have been
the
moved.
Most famous bubble guts ever, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah. It's just, he is just, everything about him embodies, like, if you stay here and you persevere and you win, you are a legend for life.
What is currently the best sports city in the country? It pains me to suggest it might be Philadelphia.
I don't know. The Sixers really suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phillies, they got half of it. Let's see.
I mean, who else would you...
L.A.? No.
Not really.
L.A.'s not a sports town.
You got the Dodgers, but...
I mean, Florida with hockey and when they had the Bucks going, that was a good run for them.
That was not a run.
Well,
I mean, that was Tom. I mean, he gets to a place and they win.
I mean,
and the Heat were kind of good during that.
I don't. I mean,
well, to be fair, the Bucks will still be a playoff team again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, so you have Kansas City, but they only have the Chiefs. I'm going over the titles.
Yeah, no.
Royals suck.
Yeah.
Who? So basketball was the Oklahoma City. That's not a sports town.
No.
Baseball was the Dodgers.
I think maybe right now it's Philadelphia.
Is Detroit making a push with the Tigers being so good, the Lions being so lovable,
eating
the Pistons
kneecaps.
Being up and coming? Maybe. I'm just throwing out.
I think I'm going with you, Greg. I'll go Philly.
You go Philly. That's really that's about it. All right. Is that it, Sean?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Okay. That's They Said It. Coming up next, Courtney with today's news, including an incident of pooper scooper rage, which led to gun violence in Nashville. Coming up.
The city of Boston is now reviewing the hiring of Boston City employee 25-year-old Nasiru Ibrahim after he was arrested following a violent traffic stop. The video of this that Mitch has on YouTube and Twitch right now is nuts. Ibrahim works for the city's property management department and now faces 5 felony gun charges.
Uh-huh.
During the traffic stop that escalated quite quickly, he admits to gun charges in the past. He said, you know, I haven't had one in 5 years, but I've been arrested for a few different things.
Right. He's on the payroll at the city of Boston.
Correct.
With the gun charges.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Okay. He is now on unpaid leave.
Wait, he is?
Yes.
Unpaid leave. So what would require it to be fired?
He'd have to actually shoot somebody and somebody would have to see him doing it. I don't know. I mean, there have been multiple situations that have required law enforcement with Boston City employees of late.
Correct.
How did this end?
They arrested him.
Yeah, the trooper got dragged.
Yes.
And they were finally able to arrest the guy. But he's not fired. He's just there doing an investigation.
Yes.
Is anybody, do they not do Corey checks or do they not care? That's the question.
Is the question.
I think they probably don't care.
And I would also say, if you're working for the city of Boston, you probably shouldn't be driving a gas guzzling SUV.
Good probably point. Not.
Here's Michelle Wu speaking on this to WCBB.
We are a city that holds all of our city workers to incredibly high standards. So that means on the clock, but also off the clock.
What does it matter whether he's on the clock or off the clock? What the hell is that?
Right.
That's like, then if that's the case, fire him.
Right.
Wait, you got the video. You don't need, there's no investigation. You have the video.
And if you listen to the body cam footage, like the police officer very calm with this person.
Yeah.
And like it goes sideways quick.
Wait, is that a thing? Like, so he wasn't actually working for the city of Boston? That's different?
Maybe. That's maybe what she's trying to say. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get it.
What?
Yeah.
A dog was fatally shot and killed by police officers after mauling someone in Dorchester yesterday. This is a bad story. Officers were called to Howe Terrace in Dorchester just before 7:30 p.m. yesterday for an out-of-control dog. When they arrived, this dog was attacking a woman.
Oh.
The victim escaped the dog with major damage to her arm, but she is expected to survive. As the police tried to control the situation, 2 officers fired at the dog, unfortunately killing the dog. Here's one neighbor, Michelle De La Cruz, on WCVB.
He's pretty aggressive. One day I had my car open. I was putting my kids into the car seat. So the car door was open and he got into the car and tried to, like, he was yelling at the kids. Oh,
I know 3 people who have been attacked by a dog in the last year.
Really?
Yeah. 3.
Huh. Wow.
3 different people.
Yeah.
And it's like 2 of them, same dog, dog is still around.
Mm.
Is it this whole, like, people that got dogs in COVID and never trained them because they didn't know how and then, like, gave up on it?
Could be. That's scary.
Very scary. Next story, very creepy.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
And it's kind of creepy, which is nice.
Back up, you creep.
24-year-old Aiden Ford, a man in Hanover, was arrested after being accused of taking upskirt photos at the Derby Street Shops in Hingham.
This dude, he was doing it multiple times at multiple places.
Correct.
I saw on the news.
Kohl's was a big one for him.
Whole Foods.
Yep. Some of his victims under the age of 18. The worst part about this entire thing was when police officers got him, arrested him. He seemed to be taking videos, photos, upskirting women with his phone in one hand. And with his other hand, he was pushing a shopping cart with what appeared to be his young daughter.
In the cart?
In the cart.
What a sicko.
God yeah. in heaven.
Ford was in Hingham District Court yesterday, and he was held on $100,000 bail. Here's an area resident on BZ.
It's just disgusting that people think it's okay to do that, and it's really, I'm glad he got caught, and just that it can happen anywhere is really the most frightening thing.
What a sicko.
Gross. Yeah. Like,
you're with your young daughter?
God.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Gross.
And imagine if he's married, his, you
oh,
know...
Yeah.
The woman's at home.
I mean,
just
they ought to take the kid away.
Yes,
like I mean, you're like that's disturbing.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, glad they got him.
Me too.
Yeah,
yep.
On a lighter note, Derby Street Shops, great spot to pop around.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Get your steps
what
you, in.
What do you like to? Where do you go over there?
Well, there's the Barnes & Noble. If you're a big reader, you
I
pop
see.
In, check out a couple books.
I think there's a paper store over there.
There is a paper store over there. Greg, couple.
Big fan of the paper store. I used to ride my bicycle over to the original one in Maynard when I was just a teenager.
Okay. How far would you bike?
Huh?
How far would you bike?
Oh, I could bike for miles. I had a paper route.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I go out every afternoon and throw the Middlesex Daily News, the afternoon edition, out on the stoop.
Now, be honest. When you were in the middle of the Hillman show days, yeah, you had a Livestrong bracelet.
I did not. But, Curtis, in the old days... this is Ask a Boomer real quick. The newspaper was delivered in the morning and the afternoon.
Ooh.
Because there was no other way to get the news.
Breaking news.
So
different versions?
No. Yeah, different versions. Yeah.
Wow. Because there were
news. Why would you buy two?
No, I don't know.
News had happened during the day, so they'd have that in the evening edition.
Yeah. Wow.
Huh? Imagine that.
Wild.
No other way to get the news.
Wow.
Back in the day.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you get then, tipped? Did you get? Oh, so yeah. Like Christmas time, you get a tip.
Christmas time was big tips.
Ooh.
And God bless my mother, Susan Hill. The Sunday edition of the newspaper was the heavy one.
Ooh.
And so if I asked her nicely, she would drive me around on Sundays to deliver the Sunday paper.
What a nice mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice mom. Yeah.
Okay. Kara Stapleton, a recent graduate from the Boston Fire Academy, was arrested for punching her ex-boyfriend multiple times at the Shanty in Quincy on Sunday.
Good spot, the Shanty.
Never been.
Yeah. Yeah.
The police witnessed this all go down.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. And when they pulled her for questioning, she said that it was an argument that turned physical because the ex-boyfriend had cheated on her. Stapleton was charged with assault and battery on an intimate partner. At her arraignment yesterday, she pled not guilty and she was released.
Okay, will she still be a firefighter in the city of Boston? We don't know about that yet. We don't know.
Cheating's bad.
Okay, well, yeah, but so is punching somebody.
Yeah, violence is never the answer.
That is not the answer.
Nope.
Okay, all right.
By the way, downtown Quincy, really nice. Like
it is. It's very nice.
There's like a bunch of new restaurants.
Yeah.
It's totally different than when I was a kid.
There's a good steakhouse down there. I think I talked about going there on the show.
And a place called the Pearl and Lime Mexican spot. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Right next to Fuji on Walk.
Yep.
Which is one of my favorite sushi places.
Do you walk there? Or get
no,
delivery?
No, different. It's WOC, not an actual walk.
Eat a lot of sushi.
Yeah, I love sushi.
Okay. Was it Courtney's cousin that saw with a stack of sushi?
Yeah.
That was the first place I ever ate. Me and a couple of my friends were there, and we had the sushi boat. Have you ever gotten one of those?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the best.
It capsized with shine.
Oh, Curtis, it was left barren.
You know, it's dangerous to eat sushi sometimes.
Mercury.
Well, you could also get like a parasite that's living in your stomach.
Yeah, unless it's properly prepared and fresh.
Well, it just happens because it's raw.
Or a flesh-eating amoeba.
I mean, if you guys are going to come at me like Jackson did about the undercooked bacon.
Greg, I'm with you on floppy bacon. I don't care.
I'm going to return the face. No, I wouldn't care. I mean,
if food's going to kill me, let it kill me. Like, I want it to be delicious. I don't care.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We'll get to the rest of today's news next.